Please do sit. So we have 5 or 6 weeks looking at parables that Jesus told. Now, in Matthew's Gospel, he groups Jesus' teaching mostly into five chunks, five sections. And I think we've pretty much got all of those sections with the parables that we've got through this summer. But today, the parable we heard is from the final section, chapters 24 and 25. Chapters 24 and 25 are about Jesus' return and the coming of his kingdom. And I suppose just like a musician might tell you, one music lesson isn't going to get them up here. So with what Jesus tells us, one lesson doesn't tell us everything that he wants us to know. And chapters 24 and 25 together tell us much more about the coming of Jesus' kingdom than the parable alone. 24 starts out with some signs about what it will look like. Most, if not all of them, are actually not particularly pleasant and very nice. And then Jesus goes on to say that no one will know the time that is coming. And then in chapter 25, we have three parables that I think kind of help us understand how we are to live in these between times, between the ascension and the return of Jesus. It starts off with the parable of the virgins. I don't know whether this is one for the Boy Scouts, but the lesson essentially is be prepared. It's about being ready for Jesus' return. The third parable is the sheep and the goats. And I think essentially it teaches us to act with compassion to those around us. And we have this middle parable, often known as the parable of the talents, but today as the parable of the three servants, which I think I prefer because the meaning of the word talent sort of changed about 500 or 600 years ago to what we would think of now as talent. But a talent was a measure of weight. And so the man left a significant weight of money with his servants. I tried to work out what the equivalent would be today. I tried to do some maths myself. I used AI and technology, and the answers varied. So for simplicity, imagine you were given £5 million. Or £2 million, or £1 million, and what would you do with it? We've all wondered, haven't we? Which charity would we donate to first? That probably doesn't come first to mind. What car we'd like to buy? Where would we move? Where have we gone? Anyway, those all sorts of things that we would wonder, possibly, about if we had that kind of money. Now, of course, this story is a bit different because it wasn't a gift. It was money that was entrusted to these people to look after. No one has ever entrusted me with that sort of money. I don't know whether that says more about them or me. But I did have some friends that lent me a car once when mine broke down. I think I might have driven more slowly and more carefully. And I cleaned the sausage rolls and things from under the seat. So not only did it was returned to them as it was lent to me, but hopefully in slightly nicer condition. Last year, we were asked to look after someone's dog for a couple of weeks. After 3 months, I succeeded in not letting him get injured or sick or have to go to the vet for any reason, and he was returned to his owners. The third servant in this story actually is quite normal. If you've been given something to look after, don't you want to return it in the condition that it's been given to you? I was going to bring in a piggy bank because I don't know if that's the modern equivalent of burying it. I did ask to borrow it and then I forgot it. You said I couldn't? Oh, right. Oh, well, I was going to take it anyway. Because when we save our money, maybe we put it in a piggy bank and it sits there and nothing happens. But we know that it is relatively safe. And it would be quite normal for people 2,000 years ago to bury their treasure and things that were precious. Sometimes in the walls of their homes, sometimes in the floor, sometimes in their gardens, fields. So common that it's an illustration Jesus uses more than once when he's teaching. So I think the third servant, possibly, maybe cautiously, out of fear, we're told, because he's afraid, and now I'm just trying to say extra words that might be on your sheets, he buried the treasure, but it was not unusual. And yet this is the servant that the master, the man, is angry with. Then we have the other two servants who immediately go to work with what has been left with them. And perhaps fortunately for them, things worked out rather nicely. The 5 became 10, the 2 became 4, and the master was very happy that he had faith in these servants to look after well what he had given to them. And what about the man in the story? Now, the third servant was afraid. I've already said that one, haven't I? But just in case you missed it the first time. The third servant was afraid of what would happen if he could not return what had been given to him. So he was very cautious. But perhaps he didn't recognize the faith of the master in trusting him with his money. I don't know whether I've had faith this morning or just been foolish, but we're going to find out now. Zoe, have you got the paper and pens and everything?
Yep, I have.
Fantastic. How are you getting on?
Quite well.
She didn't disappoint. Thank you. I'll leave that with Ed. Have you finished or not?
Yeah, I think I'm finished.
All right, well, do you want to clean up and everything as well? Having turned around earlier, this is the risky bit, I think. Oh, no, actually, sorry, before I do, sorry. I think really what you need then is some more bits of paper to do some more. Andy, this is the one I'm worried about. What have you done? Nothing. Okay. Brilliant. Jesus had better luck in his stories than I did, didn't he? John, what have you done? Lost? Lost? You hid it and you can't find it. I mean, I think you could have like gone to get Waitrose to get sweets for us all or something, couldn't you? Or something. You've done nothing. And they've done nothing. That's nasturtiums. Not only would you have lovely, pretty flowers if you... I was going to say painted them, but what do you do with flowers? Plant them, that's it. But you can eat them as well. So you could have food and pretty flowers, and he's done nothing with it, and he's done nothing with this. And he's got water, isn't he? The chap that sold me the seeds said that he saw them flowering within a week. So there's going to be nothing next week when we come back, is there? The question Jesus asked in this parable is, what are we going to do with the things that have been given to us? Thank goodness for Zoe, is all I can say. Are we going to use what we've been given, or are we going to do nothing with it? That's one of the reasons why, as Karin mentioned earlier, we're running the Shape Course. It's an opportunity together to explore the way that God has made us, to think about the gifts that he has given, and to work out how we put them to best use for his kingdom. And that's key, I think, that it's about his kingdom. Now, I mentioned that the meaning of the word talent has changed over time. So it may be that Jesus, when he tells this parable, is talking about our abilities, our skills, our talents. But perhaps he's also talking about our possessions and the things that we have, our time, our breath, and our life. Because this parable, remember, is part of a bigger teaching block all about between his ascension and his return and how we are to live in that time. And the greatest treasure that we have been given is not my grade 3 piano certificate, is not whatever it is that you may or may not have done, but it is the kingdom of God itself. The kingdom of God, where the last is first, where it is the poor that are blessed. This is the kingdom that is entrusted to us to live for, to care for, and to invest in. So as we think about what God has given us and entrusted to us, as we think about signing up for the shape course to explore that further. I could say, use it or lose it. But perhaps it's better to ask how we are going to invest in God's kingdom. Amen.